President Trump might have further upended the G7 talks starting in Quebec by suggesting Russia should be readmitted to that exclusive group, even though Russia has not withdrawn from eastern Ukraine, has not reversed its annexation of the Crimea. CBS News White House correspondent Stephen Portnoy in Quebec City. Stephen, that was kind of a little bombshell from the president, even before he got there, huh?
You're absolutely right, and you'll forgive me because I didn't hear what you had said before you brought me on to the show here, but my presumption is you're talking about Russia?
Yes.
Right. That's exactly it. The president says that he wants Russia to be back at the table. Obviously, that's something that the European allies are not necessarily keen on. The G7 kicked Russia out of the G8 in 2014 after Vladimir Putin invaded Crimea. And Angela Merkel told a German television network today that the European countries are agreed that the conditions have not been met for Russia to return to the table. But the president's argument is, well, we're talking about issues of importance to the world, and Russia essentially deserves a seat at the table.
Well, one still gets the impression the president really doesn't want to go there, that to him this is a diversion from the coming talks with North Korea and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, that he doesn't want to be there and he wants to spend as little time as possible with some of these individual leaders.
Well, he has been seen today sitting on a couch with Emmanuel Macron. The White House says that they'll have another opportunity later today to speak. He was supposed to arrive sometime in late morning and have a one-on-one with Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada, have a one-on-one with Emmanuel Macron, the President of France. The President arrived so late, having emerged from the White House later than expected, having spent 20 minutes or so on the South Lawn talking to reporters about a whole variety of things. He then got on Marine One, got on Air Force One, but arrived so late that those morning meetings had to be essentially rescheduled. So we expect that he will have a meeting with Macron later today. But what a signal that sends, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The president was supposed to meet with the president of France, and he didn't because he was busy doing whatever he was doing in Washington.
And you reporters are just kind of sequestered. They're quite removed from the scene.
Yeah, that's a fair assessment. In fact, we're watching the president right now sitting with his fellow world leaders at what they call a working session. Now, we were brought in at the top to take pictures, and they chatted about small talk about the pens on the table having been made by a local craftsman, and the president pointed out a New York Times photographer that he's the number one in the world, except he works for the Times. And then the reporters were escorted out of the room. So we really don't know at this point what it is that they're discussing. The big question, the open question, Alan, that we'll have to watch through this time tomorrow, is whether the Group of Seven issues a joint communique, a statement of shared values,
right,
about how they see, for example, the key issues of trade, and whether they are able to issue a joint statement, or whether perhaps the six nations, with the exclusion of the United States, will issue their own joint statement. That's something that Emmanuel Macron said this week is something that might happen.
Well, I wonder, it would be like the U.S. Supreme Court, the majority judgment and then the minority opinion or something like that. The minority would be the United States of America, I guess. But what about Macron when he suggested, just as the G8 became the G7 with the exclusion of Russia, about kicking out the United States? Was that just for rhetorical effect?
Well, and that's an open question. I mean, that's sort of what the statement he'd be making if he were to, if they were to go forward and issue a statement of just the six countries plus one, if you will, of the United States. Although it wouldn't be the first time. I seem to remember last year at the G7, there was a similar dynamic that had to do with the Paris Climate Accord.
Oh, yeah.
And the G7 nations said that they couldn't come to agreement, but essentially the signal there was that the United States was on an island unto itself. The Paris Climate Accord is a philosophical thing that obviously all the nations, almost all the nations in the world, but the United States seem to agree that they should be part of it. When it comes to tariffs, and this is the point, the steel and aluminum tariffs that the President of the United States has imposed on every country in the world, but just a very, very, very small handful, that's deeply affected relations between the United States and its longtime steadfast allies. And the potential ramifications of that when it comes to our foreign policy with our closest friends has not been fully understood because there really hasn't been enough time for it to sink in. But what you're seeing today is a very key example of the difficulty that the president's going to have when it comes to negotiating what he hopes will be newer, better deals if the other parties are in opposition to the president philosophically on this tariff.
All right, Stephen Portnoy, live in Quebec City, Quebec, Canada. Thank you.
You bet.